Well, again, friends, we're really grateful to have our Teen Challenge with us today to share about the good work that God's been doing in their group. If you have children, we have a children's ministry. You can scoot out the back there at this time. Teen Challenge has been around for a few years, eh? Like, how many years? Since the mid-50s. That's even older than me. But it's funny, I do remember hearing about it as a kid, you know, as my parents would talk about the ministry and the important work they're doing. When I was at Briarcrest, every now and then we would have a student come, and their needs were beyond what we could meet as a school. And we were always looking for, is there an organization that can help? And Teen Challenge is one of those organizations that God has blessed and gifted to help in those challenges. So, Brian, why don't you come on up and share with us? Thanks for being here. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor. It's good to be here with you this morning. We really appreciate the opportunity to come. We thank you for asking us to come. And, you know, it's just a blessing to be with other believers. On Sunday morning, we travel all over northeastern Ontario, and fortunately in the winter, they kind of keep us close to home, so we don't have to. I was just telling the men this morning that we will be going to Cochrane, but hopefully not till May or June or July. yes, it's good to be with you. I want to thank this church to begin with for your support over the years, because I see quite a few familiar faces here, and I know that individually and as a church, you really support our ministry, so I just want to say thank you for that. I think that our ministry started, as I just talked, the pastor just talked about, in the mid-50s, and David Wilkerson was the pastor who was called by God to go into New York City and help a teenage street gang. And from that, from his obedience, God has produced and grown and blessed this ministry. We're now over 1,100 centers around the world. And in Canada, we have centers we have a men's center in Alberta. And we have a men's center in Saskatchewan. We just opened last year a new women's center in Saskatchewan. We have two men's centers, Teen Challenge North and our home base in London. And we have a women's center in Aurora, Ontario. Men's center in New Brunswick. And this last year we opened a women's center in Newfoundland. So to open two centers in 1 year, God obviously has to be behind that, because that, you know, the funding and all the staffing and the buildings and the renovations and everything that has to happen, well, God just blessed that immensely. And we're not just for men, we are for women as well. We have now three women's centers in Canada. So, you know, it's a wonderful ministry. We go out on Sundays primarily, and the men are encouraged to develop their own personal testimonies and share them. And the reason we do that, it's a big part of what we do, is because the Word of God says that the devil doesn't like it, right? And it's the blood of the Lamb and the Word of our testimony that puts him in the back seat, if not gone. So we encourage our men to do that, because we know that the power of that. So this morning I have two students with me who are going to share their testimony. And in fact, we have all the students with me this morning. We are an 8-bed facility, and right now we have 4 men. God willing, there'll be a 5th one arriving later today, and we'll be up to 5. But all the men came with me this morning. And I think... by the way, if you don't know me, I think a lot of people do know me, but my name's Brian Hall. I live on St. Joseph Island. I attend the Free Methodist Church there. I've been with Teen Challenge about 12, 14 years now. I was originally there as the spiritual formation coach, life coach. And then I took a brief, well, I called it retirement. I don't think God uses, that word's not in his vocabulary. It's, back in 2018, I was called back there as the director. And it's such a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord in this way. So I think we'll begin with Graham. Graham's going to come up and share his testimony. And, you know, this is Graham's second opportunity, I think, he's had to share in a church. So just please make Graham welcome.
Good morning. I don't think my time started yet. I have to keep my eye on Brian with this. But my first testimony went 15 minutes. I won't do that today, I promise. I was met when I came in by Carol, who said, "This is the most loving, warm Christian church in the world." And I just had to remind her that I come from Hamilton and I belong to a Baptist church there. So I'm just going to take that under advisement right now. But I thank you. I do feel comfortable. I do feel warm. Thank you very much. Years ago, if I was asked, "Do you think that God has a plan for your life?" I would have responded very honestly, "No." And it wasn't for due to any belief or unbelief. It was rather that I just did not understand, or I was ignorant about the Creator and His creation. I wasn't raised with any sound or structured biblical teaching. I just followed my parents. I just followed their lead and treating people with respect. My name is Graham. I'm 58 years old, born and raised in Hamilton, Ontario. I have a 30-year-old son living in Ottawa and a 28-year-old daughter living with her husband in San Francisco. I grew up in a home with my mother, my father, older brother, and my aunt. And there I felt was very well cared for. I felt loved, and I would describe it as an average household. I made friends easily. I was confident, well-adjusted. I was looked up to in many activities that I was in. But one afternoon, it was January 28th, 1978 to be exact, I came home after a basketball practice and found my mother was slumped over. She was unresponsive and cold to the touch. And several moments later, the paramedics confirmed the worst, that my mom had passed. She was 41 years old. I was 16. The next days were very much a blur as both shock and reality set in. I'd never given thought to losing anybody in my family. I took for granted that they would always be there. I think most young people do. Oddly enough, my three closest friends at that time had all lost their fathers by then. And it was something we just never talked about. My brother had moved out at that time. So my father, my aunt, and I carried on. We always ate dinners together. And the only thing I seemed to notice was that there was one less place setting. That was it. We didn't talk about my mom's death. I don't think anybody knew what to say or how to approach it. We were all impacted very differently and obviously very suddenly. And I think because of that, I never grieved her loss. My loss, her passing. I put on a brave face and just tried to continue on. As I look back, I believe this to be the time that the evil one moved in. He saw fear and he saw emptiness inside a young boy, and I'm certain that he spoke his lies to me from then onward. And it always went something like this. Never get too close to someone, because eventually everybody's going to leave you. So if you get too close, it'll just make you too vulnerable. I began to lose interest in many things I'd previously enjoyed then, though I did stay close to my sports friends. And that was about the time I started to drink. And the void inside me was filled for a time. However, I held on to that silent fear of abandonment. Fast forward through my life, I maintained employment for 35 years at the same company. I helped raise two terrific kids, I was married for 36 years to the same woman. I always maintained a distance from those, though, that I should have been most emotionally and intimately closest to. Satan was still winning that battle in my mind. Alcohol filled my emptiness, but at the expense of my body, my rationality, my family. Drinking binges led to bouts of depression, which led to psychologists and counselors. I attended treatment programs, centers, groups, only to get sober for brief periods of time. Nothing addressed my inner pain and loneliness, and nothing I could do on my own seemed to be helping. I did not want to believe that this was what my life was all about. So I began asking questions and seeking advice from some long-distance friends that I had met. And by long distance, they're scattered about the U.S. As it turned out, they were all very Christian men. And they each in turn told me little things that led me on a quest for some spiritual answers. With more of their guidance and with more of my questions, I was brought into contact with a church in my hometown. And in that building, I met a very good Bible-teaching pastor, a terrific ministry team, and a congregation that accepted me, warts and all. The first pastor I spent any amount of time with was the outreach pastor. And after listening to me for a while, he just quoted the last parts of Hebrews 13:5, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And that was something very different than what I believed up until that time. I was in my late 40s. So I continued in that church, taking courses, getting involved with various ministries, small group meetings, and so on. And on Sunday, April 6th, 2008, it was our Easter service that year. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It also would have been my mother's 72nd birthday. Meaning started to return to my life then, and my road to sobriety, a purpose in my life, now came into view. As long as I remained connected to God and to other believers, things went fairly well. I discovered, though, that Satan does not cede control willingly or easily, and I backslid from time to time. It was after one of these falls that Teen Challenge was mentioned to me by that very same outreach pastor. I looked into the program, and while the idea of spending 12 months far away from my comfort zone with other men of varying ages and life experiences was daunting, I did feel a nudge from the Holy Spirit in this direction. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So here I am today, more than halfway into this commitment, and with excellent counseling, structure, study, encouragement from staff, students, volunteers, and support from congregations like this, I've gotten closer to Jesus than anyone else in my life. I've been able to lay many of my fears and worries on him, and I continue to receive his love and grace daily. Proverbs 3:5-6 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." I find that my thoughts now are more organized. I'm not living in fear, and I can wait on answers from my Lord. Going back to my opening question, do you think God has a plan for your life? I can honestly say he sure does. All I had to do was ask him. My intentions going forward are to give back to society in whatever capacity I can. Wherever Jesus leads me, I will go. It does not matter what I do. He's equipped me with many gifts and blessings that I know of that I can use for his purpose. So God saw all that he made, and it was very good. That's Genesis 1:31. He made me, therefore I am good. Jesus is Lord, and as your brother in Christ, I love you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Graham. Thank you. That's getting closer to, time-wise, what we would like. I don't set the time limits. The pastor does, right? I want to talk a little bit about our center here now. Most of you probably know where it is. It's located past the trading post where you go across the Root River, and there's a sign there, and the road goes down and in. We got 29 acres there. Beautiful spot for this ministry. You know, it's quiet there, and lots of times when men are struggling, they can just go down by the river there, and it's a great place to meditate and to pray, and it's a wonderful center. Our program is basically, well, now there are five phases to the program. I want to talk a little bit about that. There is a brochure on the table over there that you can pick one up, and it describes the program in detail. But phase one, the first 4 months of the 12-month core program, is just a time to rest, restore, get eating properly, sleeping properly, get your body back on track, and maybe learn to adjust to the program, to live it in a center with other men, to be told almost every minute of every day what you're going to do and when you're going to do it and how you're going to do it and what you're going to wear and all of those things. Very detailed, very structured. But the Lord intended us all to live within boundaries. And when you're caught in addiction, it's chaos. There are no boundaries. It's just horrific. So the boundaries that we put in place help men get their lives back. Second phase of the program is what we call teaching phase. That is where we begin to concentrate more on Bible teaching, sharing your testimony. We don't ask men to prepare and share their testimony till the second phase, the second 4 months. And so it's a time of more learning and studying. And through both phases, there's a work program. We call it work therapy. And basically what we do is cut and split wood. And we sell it to help support the program. Of course, there's always snow shoveling and grass cutting and all of that as well. The third phase of the program is what we call the transition phase. And that is where we concentrate on helping a man get ready to leave Teen Challenge and move back out into the world. By thinking about things as though it's simple things, like perhaps you want to further your education. Many men want to get their GED. Some want to get their driver's licenses back. Some want to just do other preparations, look for maybe potential job and that sort of thing. So that's a time that we work on that. We, along with the counselor, we spend quite a bit of time on where am I going to live? Where am I going to go to church? Who am I going to be accountable to? How am I going to live? How am I going to make money? That sort of thing. So it's a transition phase. We have a fourth phase, though. We found out a few years ago, Teen Challenge did, that not all men can just finish the core program and then step away and be successful. So we have a fourth phase that we call, phase four. And what it is about is you get to stay at the center. I have a separate dorm for phase four students. And they work 40 hours a week in the program. They live at the center. A little more freedom. They can go off property by themselves, which never happens in the main part of the program unless they're accompanied by family or friends. So they go off property, they can have a little more freedom, they get to manage their own money, that sort of thing. And if they struggle, then we're there to help them get back on track. And about a year ago, we developed a phase five, which is now, if I have a vacant position, one of the staff positions is vacant, and a man is interested and has the skills, I can bring them on for 1 year and on a 1 year contract, pay them minimum wage, and actually they live off property then. They have to go and find their own accommodation and, you know, provide their own transportation and all of that. And but at the same time, they have spiritual disciplines to do. They have accountability to the center. So there is some structure there for them. And again, if it doesn't go well, we're there to help. So that was a big change, the Phase 5 program. Right now we have two Phase 5 students actually working at the center. I wanted to mention something too. I think probably many of you have heard that Teen Challenge has purchased a property in Sudbury. And I wanted to just speak briefly about that. It's true, we purchased a property there. We had quite a struggle to get it rezoned because neighbors didn't want that type of facility in their neighborhood. But it was finally rezoned, and now we're working with the city of Sudbury to jump through all the hoops that they have in order to either rebuild or a combination of rebuilding new and maybe renovating what's there. It's on the northeast side of Sudbury near Chelmsford, just outside of Chelmsford. And it's on the Vermilion River. And it's about a 10 or 12 acre property, and it's ideally suited for this type of ministry. When that will open, God only knows that answer, because it'll open when He wants it to open and in His time. And, you know, again, it's a combination of funding, renovations, all of that. But I just wanted to mention that to you. I really don't know much else than that, and because I was just talking to my boss the other day, and he when I came back to Teen Challenge, he said, he just signed me up to a one-year contract, right? Well, this is almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in April. And he apologized to me, and he said, I know I promised you 1 year, but, you know, it's a process, and we got to go through it. And so, you know, it'll take whatever time it takes. But it's planned to be a 16-bed facility, so, you know, it's going to be. And all the Teen Challenge facilities now are really top-notch. They're either totally renovated or built new. This center here was an old house, or is an old house, that had a trailer added on to the end of it. And we're continually fixing, patching up, repairing. But it's good. It has served its purpose. And I just wanted to update you on that. So now I want to ask Paul to come up and share his testimony. Paul is our most senior student at the moment. He's not in his transition phase yet, but he just recently came in very close to it. You got to be close to it, right, Paul? Yeah. Okay, come on up, Paul.
Well, good morning. I'm so thrilled to be here. So thrilled. Just like the other Paul to the Romans. So anyways, 46 years old. I was born in Edmonton, Alberta. At the age of two, I was adopted by my great aunt. So we went to church. I think we started when I was about 8 years old. That's when I got introduced to Jesus, gave my heart to the Lord, but failed to receive the full message because we walked away from the church and we never really went there. So just wanna, this is a verse here that if I only knew then what I knew now, I'd be a much different person. But how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I was a normal rebellious child of the 80s. I I started smoking in grade 5, drinking by grade 8, smoking marijuana by grade 8. Throughout my teenage years, I always struggled trying to fit in and just trying very hard to be accepted. And I always failed, it seemed. Wasn't good enough for the people that I tried to hang out with, but I see now that it was just the wrong people that I was trying to hang out with. At 16, my father had a stroke, so he never really fully recovered ever from that, so I even rebelled more. By the age of 19, I just grew tired of trying to fit in and not making friends, and so I said, well, I'm just going to move out west. So I moved to Alberta. Began working pretty steadily and making great money in the oil field, but never really saved any money, never thought about the future. I just spent it, didn't care. It was then I got introduced to cocaine. So by the age of 26, I think I was completely addicted to it. I'd spend all my money. Lost numerous jobs. I never gained any real friends. They were only there for the money or the drugs or whatever. Fast forward now to 43 years old, 16 years later. I've become a mess. I've worked for every company there was. I've lost jobs. I've quit jobs, all because of drugs. I was just at my end's wit with drugs and everything. And I've always talked to my mother throughout my addiction, but I would never tell her what I was doing. So one day I called her up, and she said she had to go in the hospital. I said, okay. I later found out she had stage 4 bone cancer. So here I was in British Columbia, Dawson Creek. No way home, because I just never saved any money. Still addicted severely to drugs. And I had no way home. I had no friends because no one trusted me, because I was just a miserable person. So we reached out on Facebook or some social media thing, and nothing was happening. And one day a Christian lady came and she said, I'll pay your way home. So she paid my ticket home from Dawson Creek to Prince Edward Island. That was when God really began to draw near to me, but I was just too blind to see it. Didn't even recognize it. He flew me home, and on that flight, he knew what I was going to go through with my mother. I needed some help. Well, that help was my high school sweetheart. He put her on that plane. She was there with me for the whole 3 months of my mom's life. And bless her soul now, she's with him. So then that's when, after my mother's death, I moved to Ontario. And that's when God started working on me and trying to show me, but I was still too stubborn to learn, to see his work in me. And I failed and fell back on drugs and fell even harder now. I was doing other drugs, harder drugs. And it ended up, she had to leave me, and I was on the streets of Oshawa. And it's one thing I learned when I was in church, that if I ever needed a friend, I just had to cry out to Jesus and he'd be there. So I cried out one day, and he led me to a pasture. And I said, Pastor, I need something more than a month program or something. I need something longer. And he mentioned Teen Challenge. So I came here on May 28th of last year. 3 days into the program, I asked Jesus back into my heart. And he's been working and breaking and molding, changing me into the person he wants me to be. He notices things in you that need to be changed. And there were so many things wrong with me that I could stand here probably for 2 hours telling you what was wrong, but I'm just going to focus on a couple of things that he's noticed. self-indulgence. Through my addictions, I would just indulge into whatever I was doing without limits. Whatever money, my limit was, whenever money was gone, that was my limit. He's showing me self-control through this. Restlessness I had been lost in my addiction that it made me restless. He has shown me and is helping me grow in patience. Selfish, I was so selfish. I became so selfish that I would always do something in order to receive something. He replaced that with love, and he's still working on that. It's a tough road to gain, but through the help of the staff at Teen Challenge and students too, it just helps. He's showing me that I need to give basic needs of others without a motive or expecting something to gain. He's also showing me my attitude was so wrong. I didn't even notice it. I had like a critical attitude, a rebellious attitude, a resentful attitude, stubborn attitude. I'm sure if there's any more bad attitudes, I had it. But on the other hand, he's just recently showed me in this attitude, and it's just amazing on how quickly he can just change it in your mind and say, hey, you need to change this. And he's pointed out four good attitudes I need to work on. Four attitudes of Jesus. There was a reverent one, a servant one, a quiet one, a grateful attitude I've always had, but he's still working. I need all help in all of them. And where I'm going to go after this, I don't know. I just like to take everything I learned here and just apply it to my life and just be a happy person and just work for the Lord and help him wherever I can. So I hope I encourage somebody, and God bless you.
Thanks, Paul. So you kind of see how it works, the Teen Challenge. You know, the Bible talks about refining of gold and how the heat's got to be high to get rid of the impurities. Well, that's what the structure program that God has designed and a Teen Challenge is all about. So much structure. You got to live in a house with four or five men that you'd rather not even talk to. Right? If you had your way. But you have to. And if you want it bad enough, that you got to want it. You got to want to be there and do it because it's hard. It's not called a challenge for no reason. But it is tough. But it needs to be. It needs to be tough. Because a lot of these men, most of their young lives, nobody held them accountable. Nobody said, If you do this, this is what's going to happen, and then follow through with it, right? So you don't have that as a young person in your formative years. You grow up just like a loose cannon, right? And so I often think at Teen Challenge, you know, sometimes my wife used to work there as a student life coordinator. We used to talk a lot about the fact that what we do is actually reparenting in many ways is what we do. That's what Teen Challenge is about. Hold them accountable, put the rules in place, put the structure. Love overall, because even, you know, if you don't love somebody, it's easy to let them do what they want to do, right? It is. That's the easy way out. Just say, well, I got more stuff to worry about. I got to go do my job. I got to, you know, I'm not going to get in a hassle with my children because it's hard. But a Teen Challenge, it works, and then Jesus comes in and says, he starts pointing things out like Paul talked about, you know. And yeah, it takes a while, but it does work. So I just wanted to, in closing, I wanted to encourage you to pick up this brochure at the back. It's a new one. It gives you a lot of good information on Teen Challenge. And also, if you've never read this book or The Cross and the Switchblade, which is the story of the beginning of Teen Challenge, please take one. We're just giving them away. If you want to make a donation, that's fine, but just help yourself. And what I always say about these is, you know, we all know people who are struggling in life. We all may know people who are struggling in addiction. And in fact, you may have tried to help people. And you get frustrated. They don't listen to you. In fact, they do the opposite, right? Well, what I have learned and what I advise people to do is take either this brochure or this book, leave it somewhere, hand it to them, leave it on the bedside table, leave it on the coffee table, and say no more. Just pray. Pray and ask God to do his thing in that person's life. And it may take 6 months, it may take 6 years, but just trust God through it all and let him. If we try to step in and do God's work, it doesn't work out. So if you're struggling with that, that's my suggestion to you. We are faith-based Christian, so we do not get government funding. You probably all know that, because if we took government funding, Mr. Trudeau would be telling us what to teach and what not to teach. And so that's why we don't take it. But having said that, we rely on God and God's people to pay for all the costs we have. God has always come through. I'll just share a brief story with you. Last fall, we had a traditional source of food and other items that we'd had for years, and it disappeared on us. And so I started praying, asking God, what are we going to do? I'm going to feed these men, you know, and take care of these men. And someone said to me, call United Way. I called United Way. They said, well, there's this new program started up called Harvest Algoma. And it's in the old, what's that hall on second line there next to the police station? That old hall there. Anyway, it's there. You know what? I got in touch with them. They said, you're just what we're looking for. We have food, an abundance of food that people are donating to us, and our job is to get it to people who feed people. So come and help yourself. Take as much as you want, much as you need. So I was praying for a replacement of what we had, and God has given us far more, far more. It's just an awesome, awesome blessing. So I know that he will take care of us. And sometimes he uses his people to help do that. So thanks again for, you know, having us today, giving us the opportunity to share. I hope you were encouraged. And again, I know there's some people sitting here who actually do a lot of to help us at Teen Challenge. There's a couple of volunteers I'm looking at right here. And yeah, we will have our golf tournament again this year, and we will have our motorcycle ride again this year. So thanks again. Thanks very much, folks.
Well, thanks so much, Brian, and Graham and Paul for sharing. Really appreciate your stories. Thank you for sharing with us. Friends, we do want to support this ministry, so we're going to take up a collection here this morning. I'll invite the worship team to come forward and the ushers as well. Yeah, the stories are so beautiful, right? Of what God does in the right context to free people from these addictions. Let's pray together. Father, we give you praise as we look at these lives and even our own lives for the ways that you've broken through in those moments of need. People in the right place at the right time with the right word. It's so beautiful the way that you work through your body. Now, Lord, as we give, I pray that you'll abundantly provide for the needs of this ministry. Again, working through your people to be a blessing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, it's been a good morning hearing testimony of God's goodness. Yeah, thanks again for being here with us. You can connect with the guys at the table there. Get some food to eat. I don't really have instructions. Forage maybe is the instruction. We started today reading Psalm chapter 9. So true here. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Friends, if you want to talk to somebody, if you want to pray with somebody, Penny and I would be happy to do that with you. Otherwise, let's pray for our meal and then we'll go, okay? Father, thanks again for all the blessings of this day. And we pray for the blessing on the food, that our bodies would be healthy, that our fellowship would be sweet, and our joy would be full. In the name of Jesus, amen.